Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. In just 20 years, the number of Americans over the age of 65 will increase by 100%. That's roughly 80 million Americans. And as the LGBT community ages alongside their heterosexual friends and neighbors, doctors focused on that population say they face unique concerns, not to mention healthcare disparities, ranging from housing discrimination to social isolation. Joining us to talk about these disparities is Dr. Clinton Potter. He's a physician with Advanced Individualized Medicine in Naples. He's giving a talk tonight called The Graying of Gay at the Lakes Regional Library. Dr. Potter, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you very much, Julie.
And did you know that nearly one in three LGBT seniors don't have someone they can turn to for legal support in their old age? And they're more likely to face discrimination when it comes to long-term care and senior housing. Here to help us talk about some of the legal challenges faced by the LGBT population as they get older is attorney Kelly Fayer. She's the president of the Lee County Bar Association. She focuses on estate planning and elder law. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Julie.
We are talking about the graying of gay and the health and legal challenges our LGBT friends and neighbors face as they get older. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. You can also visit WGCUnews.org for more ways to get in touch. First, Dr. Potter, you're a doctor who emphasizes the unique needs of LGBT patients. You're also a member of the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association. What falls under the umbrella of LGBT medicine?
Well, I think that excellent starting point, Julie. And I think that one thing that we have to do is recognize that, you know, we're everywhere. We are 99% present in all counties in the United States of America. We represent roughly self-identified 5 to 7% of the population based on studies. But my estimate is closer to 10% of the population if you include bisexual, trans, lesbians, gay population. I think it's important for a number of reasons. You know, my LGBT patients are aging right along with the rest of the population. The graying of the gay population is important. It's pertinent. We have to talk about it. One of the most important things I think that we need to begin to address it's a huge swath of a subset population that needs some age-specific care. You know, we all basically age equally. There's nothing specific about being gay, lesbian.
We all get gray hair, right?
We all get gray hair.
We all have bad knees.
Yes. We all get gray hair. We all get bad knees. But the question then becomes, it can't help but not bleed into some important social factors that are going on. So, part of the lecture tonight is going to be to touch on those. I think one of the most important is this idea of social isolation that happens as our LGBT brothers and sisters age out. You know, gay and lesbians, as you mentioned, are two times as likely to live alone as their heterosexual counterparts. They are twice as likely to be single as they get older. And they're four times less likely to have children. So that sort of built-in support that we're kind of used to in our society really falls away. And remember, oftentimes, especially those that are aging out now, were estranged from their biological families, so they haven't been in touch with their biological families.
But how does that impact somebody medically?
Well, very important. Good question. So what does social isolation end up doing? It ends up contributing to depression. It ends up contributing to anxiety. It ends up contributing to poor nutrition. It ends up contributing to poor self-care.
Yes, self-neglect.
Self-neglect, exactly, which is a huge, huge medical phenomenon. And a lot of these patients, mind you, remember, they have a lot of internalized homophobia, so they will delay seeking medical care, and you never want that.
For fear of being judged.
For fear of being judged, for fear of being discriminated against, for fear of the snickering that goes on in the hallways. It just goes on and on and on. So what they do is they wait till they're very, very ill, and then they present to me or us, the medical provider, in a much worse shape.
Has that been your experience as a doctor? Have you seen people coming forward after things have progressed to a point where they're worse than had they come in earlier?
I certainly have. Part of my career, over a decade of my career, I spent as an emergency room physician in California, in San Francisco, in fact, where you would think that patients would feel a little bit freer to present to their doctors, especially the trans community, the transgender community. Many, many of these patients live invisibly. They don't get health care. They won't go to doctors. They're afraid of being judged. They're
they just
kind of
want to fly under the radar.
Absolutely.
As long and as much as they can.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, they have to see a doctor.
Right. At some point, we all need to go to the doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, one of the reasons that we have you on the show today is a talk that you're giving tonight that's being put on by the Southwest Florida LGBT advocacy group, Visuality. And you mentioned that you recently relocated to Southwest Florida after practicing medicine in San Francisco. Do you see a specific need for this kind of outreach here in South Florida more so or pretty much equally to what's needed in San Francisco? How would you compare us?
Yeah, again, excellent questions. I think Southwest Florida, it's very important to talk about who we are, where we are. And like I mentioned before, you know, we're here. The LGBT population is here. I think we're much more – what my experience has been since moving back to Florida from San Francisco is that, yes, there's a large community here, but it tends to be a hidden, cloistered community. There are not a lot of group support systems. You know, as an example, recently I was proud to be a founder of Naples Pride, where we thought maybe we'd have a couple hundred people show up, you know, at Cambier Park in Naples, and we ended up having somewhere around 5,000 people turn out. So, you know, I think that visibility, just patient visibility, being counted, is important. Again, it bleeds into social issues. The U.S. Bureau of Census just decided to eliminate gender orientation questions from the 2020 census. So we're not being counted as a group. So where are those billions of dollars going to be allocated to in the future to care? If we don't exist, are we being erased as, you know, a population, as a subset population that needs to be treated?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn now to Kelly Fair, attorney. You're an attorney that's focused on estate planning and elder law. What kinds of things do you encourage all people to consider when it comes to the difficult but necessary part of planning for the future?
Well, Julie, I think that some people will wait a little bit longer than I would like to see to speak with an estate planning attorney in the same way that they do not seek medical care.
Do you feel
maybe
like,
when they should?
Do you feel like maybe LGBT people might want to wait even longer than the average? I mean, a lot of people want to put it off.
A lot of people want to put it off in general because you're dealing with your own mortality. However, I have seen this community wait even longer than the rest of our population. And what I like to tell people, and this is anyone that I ever speak to about estate planning issues, we have over 700 attorneys in the Lee County Bar Association, and you will be able to find an attorney who will help you with whatever issues you are facing with respect and with value. We are in the service industry just like any other member of the service industry. So I tell everyone, no matter who I'm talking to, if you do not have an attorney that you're speaking to right at the moment who you feel values your very last wishes and who you want to be able to make decisions for you when you're unable to, if you see someone that is not valuing your wishes and your needs and your concerns, then I always say just walk.
There's so many attorneys to choose from, but it's still so intimidating because it's something you just don't know anything about. I mean, people that are not already attorneys don't deal with that ever. So, I mean, what kind of specific things would be different or more difficult for somebody from the LGBT community?
Well, prior to same-sex marriage being legalized and recognized in the state of Florida, members of the LGBTQ community had some very different issues they were facing if they were a part of a long-term relationship. They did not have any legal rights to be able to inherit. They did not have any legal vehicle with which to be able to make decisions for loved ones unless they did, in fact, see an attorney and had documents drawn up officially, legally giving those rights.
But now that we do have same-sex marriage, are there other obstacles that still need to be overcome? I mean, you have to be married, obviously, to enjoy enjoy those rights. Do the people end up with other problems?
Yes. The first thing I want to point out is not everyone takes advantage of the right to marry. So still seeing an estate planning attorney and dealing with those issues is very important. But the most significant issue I've seen is that people will say, well, now that marriage is legalized and we are married, now we don't have to do anything else. And that could not be further from the truth. Now that we have the rights to marry, we now have a natural access to being able to inherit. We are the first person as spouses on the list of decision makers when documents are filed in the court system with that request. However, with estate planning, and I find this with spouses often, if we do not plan for our demise and the transfer of assets properly, we have spouses going to court to try to get their inheritance. Same thing with decision makings, whether it is healthcare or financial decisions. We still have spouses who have been married for many, many years. They will have to go through the court system. And so what we have to do now that there are marriages and the legal rights that all married couples enjoy, we still have to make sure that we express that there are limitations. Now it is easier, but we still have to have our own planning and our own legal documents that ensure these rights without the need to go to court.
Have you ever seen instances in which an estranged family comes out of the woodwork after an LGBT person has passed away that feels that that marriage is not valid or that that partner in life is not – should not be taken under consideration? Have you had that happen?
I have. Unfortunately, I have seen this where family members do not recognize a relationship and they choose to try to challenge that legally. So if you're a member of the LGBTQ community where you have not been married, that can be challenged. You can be cut out as though you never had a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask Dr. Potter, do you see that happen with any of your patients where end-of-life care is also a big issue?
Absolutely, Julie. Thank you. And thank you, Kelly, very much for everything you've offered today. Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it at the most crucial, vulnerable times in patients' life, i.e., I've had patients laying in the ICU on a ventilator with their 30 or 40-year partner before they were able to get married, let's say legally, because that only happened a few years ago, and then a distant family member all of a sudden appearing out of nowhere that this patient hasn't spoken to for decades, and all of a sudden the family member says, wait a minute, I'm family. This person that's been living with my uncle for 30 years, they're not family. We're family. That this is how we define family. You know, so I think that it's crucial, marriage or no marriage, you know, get your ducks in a row, because as a physician, it gives me much comfort and much more power legally to say, wait a minute, this is an established relationship. This is a relationship that I certainly want to honor and recognize that we're not going to fight, especially at this most vulnerable time. I think it's important for also as the LGBT population ages out, remember, we're going to be entering nursing homes. So there are nursing homes that are legally able to say, we're not going to put you two together. We don't believe in your relationship. Private nursing homes can still do that in many, many states.
Even if they're married?
Even if they're married, they can say, we're going to house you because we put men and women in different areas or couples. Yeah, we don't have same-sex couple rooms for you. None are available.
And that type of discrimination is legal.
Well, we need to challenge it. Yeah, well, I mean, many people allege that it's legal. I say the fight goes on, and this is why it's important to live out loud. One big concern is what is going to happen as our population ages? Are we going to be forced back into the closet? There are lots of studies that show that over 80% of people that enter nursing homes feel like they have to hide their gender identity from the staff for fear of reprisal, for fear of discrimination.
So things that are permissible under current law can happen. So those things can happen. However, it just hasn't been outlawed yet.
And do every day. And I just want to touch very briefly, Julie, you know, you asked me what was different between San Francisco and Southwest Florida. I've applied to get to Blue Cross, to take Blue Cross insurance. And I spoke to them and I'm just hitting a blank wall. They're saying, first of all, that there are enough primary care providers in Naples and Southwest Florida for our population. I said, that's not true. Just ask the patients. They can't get in to see a doctor. And then I told the officer on the phone, I said, you know, I have an LGBT affirmative practice, and this is an underserved population. She said to me, just didn't bat an eyelash. She said, those people can go anywhere. And I said, you know, I don't think it's true that they can go anywhere and get culturally sensitive and competent care. You know, they need to be able to tell their doctors who they are, and I need to be able to know who my patients are to deliver good care to them, their families, their loved ones, their children. We're all brothers and sisters, moms, dads, nurses, doctors.
There's just a certain different level of sensitivity and awareness of some of the issues. I mean, what would a physician need to know in order to better treat an LGBT patient?
Well, I think that just knowing who my patient is, right, is crucial. You know, what is your family dynamic? Who do you live with? You know,
and what support systems do you have?
What support systems do you have? Crucial, critical, basic questions, right? There are some, you know, gender specific, gay, lesbian specific medical issues. Not that many, like we talked about at the beginning. We all grow old. You know, we all need to stop smoking. We all need to put the booze down. We all need to walk a little bit more and move and get a hobby, you know, and socialize. Social isolation is a crucial problem for all aging persons, period. You know, not just the LGBT population, but if I'm gay or lesbian or certainly trans, where do I go to hang out with
like-minded people?
Well,
trans is going to
have
different medical situations,
yes,
too.
Yes, they do. They absolutely do.
And that's a very specific medical situation that they're going to need specified care.
I'll come back for an hour. We can discuss that.
And that's a whole – there may be doctors that aren't prepared to deal with that or haven't studied that. I mean, it's kind of a continuing education thing.
It absolutely is. And it's incumbent on us and my brothers and sisters in the medical field to learn as much as we can. It's not okay to say, oh, I don't treat LGBT patients. I don't treat trans patients. Why is that okay? When did that all of a sudden become okay to just to say, I'm just not going to study that because I'm not really comfortable with that?
Yeah. We are talking about the graying of gay and the health and legal challenges our LGBT friends and neighbors face as they get older. If you'd like to become part of the conversation before we run out of time, give us a call at 877-428-8255. This is a conversation that just kept going and I lost track of time, and we only have about 5 minutes left. I wanted to ask, in light of the Supreme Court decision that recognized gay marriage and single-sex marriages, are there continuing problems, though, that you need to account for, even though you're married, with wills and power of attorney and things? Are those part and parcel of having gotten married, or do you have to do those in addition to?
You have to do those in addition to being married. It is so important to do this. And I want to go back to something you said to me a little earlier in the show where you said, isn't it intimidating to see a lawyer? What I want to say to anyone that is listening is if you go to see an attorney to talk about these very important issues and you feel intimidated, then leave. and go see another attorney and keep going and going and going until you find an attorney that makes you feel very comfortable with the issues that you have to discuss. Because I will say that if you are married and you have assets that are in your name alone without a direction for them to go, so you have no beneficiaries, you have no trust, you don't have your documents, your spouse can inherit, but they're going to have to go through the court system and potentially be in the court system for a year and a half going through the probate process, because that is the average length of time that it takes. Similarly, when someone is alive, you want to make sure that your spouse is your decision maker in almost all cases for healthcare and finances. And if you don't have that in a document. Now, for healthcare, it's a little bit different. So that is one right that is advantageous to have. If you have no documents, the doctors are supposed to turn towards the spouse first to have medical decisions made, and they use their best interests, whether they're going to feel that a discussion is against the HIPAA violations. But in regards to finances or any kind of other decisions that does not include healthcare, even if you are married, you have to have a power of attorney giving your spouse that decision-making right. If you don't, you'll have to go through guardianship court.
And I'm sitting here taking this as tips for myself too.
It is. It is.
Absolutely.
And that's another thing that I did want to say is now for estate planning, there isn't LGBTQ estate planning. There is just thorough estate planning, because we all have clients that are either same sex or not, or they're not in any relationship whatsoever. And there are certain things that have to be accomplished that are legal standards. And then people have their own special needs and circumstances that they have to feel comfortable to talk to us about.
And just as you mentioned, making sure that you have an attorney that makes you feel comfortable and safe, that's also the same case with a doctor.
It is critical.
Because there's so much
doctor.
You have to admit out loud to that person.
Of course. Of course. I'm going to ask you all the personal things that you just don't want to talk about. And I want to try to help you be the best you can be. And I will, you know, certainly echo what Kelly said. If you walk into a doctor's office and you feel like you're being discriminated against in any way, shape, or form, don't walk out. Run. Get online. Get some help. Sage is out there, sage.com for seniors, HRC, Lambda Legal, LGBT, the Gay and Lesbian Medical Association. You know, most of us have access to the internet, so use what we've got.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but I want to thank our guest, Attorney Kelly Fayer. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much, Julie.
And Dr. Clinton Potter, he's giving a talk on the graying of gay tonight at 6 o'clock at the Lakes Regional Library in Fort Myers. Details are on our website at wgcunews.org. Just click on Gulf Coast Live to find that. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. Sing me a song.